And welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He is Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes. Two ways for you to interact with us here on the program, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll get to your tweets as we go over the latest in free agency as things are heating up here in week number two. And we'll get to all of your questions on the New York Giants. And even though this is the second wave of free agency, Jeff, little by little, each and every day, teams are tweaking their rosters. And I think it's interesting to look at how the NFC East is being impacted by free agency. In addition to the Giants, the Cowboys in particular, I mean, their defense is going to have a very different look here.
Yeah, their defense wasn't that good last year.
It did struggle.
You know, I mean, but, you know, losing a couple defensive backs, they've lost, you know, two defensive linemen. And so, you know, and I think that the Cowboys kind of flying a little under the radar. I think they're dealing with that Tony Romo issue thing that's going over there. But, you know, this is and, of course, you look at the Eagles and what they've been doing and talk about quarterback. Today's like a backup quarterback day. You're just seeing a lot of things that are being reported around the league as far as backups and stuff like that. But, you know, look at the – and then you got the Redskins. What are they doing over there with
Kirk
Cousins?
They've lost a lot of personnel, too.
And lost a GM.
Indeed.
But, you know, when it look – and then you look at the Giants who – you know, they haven't really lost too many players. Robbie Gould, congratulations to him. I mean, that was a good signing for him. And but the Giants are making some waves here. They're getting some good guys. So when you look collectively at the division, which we always do, I mean, that's the most important thing. If I had to give a grade, I would put the Giants probably up there in first place, just with the Brandon Marshall signing and of the other guys too.
Well, from a continuity standpoint, I would agree with you, Jeff. I mean, the Giants are in good shape, specifically on defense, to have nucleus back, which obviously made huge strides in 2016. Some new personnel on offense, but for the most part, your core is going to be carrying over. Whereas you look at the Cowboys, you know, I mean, you alluded to the secondary. Brandon Carr, mm-hmm. Baltimore Ravens, one of their corners. Morris Claiborne, based on reports, is joining the Jets. They've already lost both safeties. J.J. Wilcox went to the Bucs. Barry Church went to the Jaguars. You know, everybody seems to be moving on in terms of Revis outside of the Dallas Cowboys, yeah. But there's been so much movement, and then the Redskins losing DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Chris Baker on the defensive line, and even Philadelphia, which is trying to revamp its secondary. Just on paper, the Giants feel as if they've got some semblance of the 2016 team back.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the missing pieces there. You got Hankins and JPP. Those are the two guys that everybody's been talking about. And then other than that, you know, you got Keenan Robinson, who's another guy that's
He's a free agent
that I believe the Giants would like to have back. It's always interesting when you're in free agency. There are certain players that when you go into it, you know you're going to get signed right away when that tampering period starts. but then there's other guys around the league that, you know, all of a sudden what they think's going to happen, they kind of get a little discouraged. And this is the second wave now. And what you're going to start seeing is you're going to see teams that are trying to free up cap space, letting the water kind of, you know, just kind of play it a little bit calm right now and wait to see where players can start to drop in value and still try to pick up some guys that they still think that they can play, but they're not going to overpay them. And it's very unfortunate if you're one of those guys that thought you were on, you know, day one, two, or three of free agency and you're still on the board, if you will. That's why you see a lot of these guys signing one-year deals because they certainly don't want to sign a long-term deal where they feel like, hey, you know what, if I can get this amount of money this year – and a prove-it contract is what they are, and then go out and play, you know, lights out. And what I like about what the Giants did, especially with Fluker and a guy like Brandon Marshall, these are two guys that have said it on record that they kind of have something to prove. And I like that attitude. You know, Fluker wants to come in here. He said, listen, I want to prove everybody wrong. I want everybody to know that I can still play. And there's going to be a nice competition at that right guard position. And, you know, eventually who knows where he'll end up. Fluker, that is, could be at right tackle, could be at right guard. John Jerry re-signing. You got Bobby Hart in the mix there. So good competition. A lot of what teams really like, that competition.
Well, and I think you brought up an interesting point, Jeff, when you talked about players that are either entering the final years of their contract or take a one-year deal, because those are always the time periods where you look for a player to burst out on the scene.
Sure.
Because there's motivation behind the finances. They have to go out and prove themselves. So the players that have the expiring contracts and the players that sign the one-year deals, I think, are the two types of players to watch.
And if you're a guy that's signing a one-year deal, you're hoping that it's a guaranteed contract, because certainly, you know, injury can not only hurt you in that sense.
There's risk involved.
It's a lot of risk involved, but you want to understand that, okay, I'm going to play for 1 year. You're going to pay me that kind of money, but next year I'm going to prove you wrong and go out and get a bigger deal. So, and you never know. Next year, if you're a defensive lineman, if you're a cornerback, you don't know what the market's going to bear. And it could be better. Obviously, if you signed a one-year deal, you're hoping that next year it bears more. And that's just – you know, that's just the way it is. And we're not talking about chump change on some of these deals. You know, these are all millions of dollars of deals, but they can play. They got to go out and play for it.
Well, and it also depends on what the depth in the upcoming draft is like, because I think we started to see offensive linemen got a lot of money, Jeff. Why? Because maybe
not a good draft.
They don't feel there's a lot of depth there. Tight ends. You don't see big splashes for tight ends. Why? There's a lot of depth for tight ends in the draft, whereas some of these other positions, perhaps teams are saying to themselves, all right, we'll go towards the draft to build up our depth chart, or we don't think there's substance in the later rounds, so now we have to throw some money out there. It fluctuates.
And I think you're seeing a lot of that in some of the cornerback positions. You haven't seen a lot of huge deals with cornerbacks because there's a lot in the draft.
Correct.
Defensive linemen.
Defensive tackles specifically. A lot of one-year deals being handed out.
Yes, so that's indicative to the draft is setting up for certain players, and that's what we're seeing. So there is trends when it comes to free agency and the draft. There is a correlation of how guys are moving around the league, and it has a direct correlation as far as the depth in the draft.
So we're talking about the latest in free agency, how it impacts the Giants, how it impacts the rest of the league here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. To watch the remainder of the program, head on over to Giants.com.
I just realized something.
Sure.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to
everybody.
That's
true. We should mention that, yes.
And Dave, our producer over here, is not wearing green.
Well, neither are we.
I am not wearing green. So I see some green buttons on the machine over there. So we do have green in the building.
We make a slight effort.
But we apologize for our ensemble of getting dressed today. I guess we just all three of us forgot that it was St. Patrick's Day. But I remember St. Patrick's Day as always being a fun day when I was in college. You know, and especially now, I'm sure that we were talking about this before we came on the air, that, you know, soon, probably in about 8 minutes, the basketball starts for the day.
Correct.
And St. Patrick's Day.
Bad combination.
What a great 1-2 punch. I don't think there's going to be a lot of productivity in the offices around the country today after 12 o'clock.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be preoccupied. And then you got to throw in Big Blue Kickoff Live, of course.
Well, sure, yeah.
I mean, that has to be added
as soon as people,
to the mix as well.
You know, disconnect from the computer, watching as they can go back to the game. You don't want to watch the first half anyways. You know, some of these games, you could just turn them on in the last fourth quarter and you'll be good.
Now, I've been told the unofficial motto for the New York Giants on St. Patrick's Day, according to our producer, Dave, is, quote, "No thanks, we'll wear blue," end quote.
Okay, all right.
So that would explain why perhaps we're not decorated in green.
I'm trying to think if I have any blue on. I don't. I'm just gray. So you have any blue?
Well, that counts. No, I'm not really sporting any blue myself. I'm more of in a gray mood as well. But gray counts as a Giants color. You can understand green is associated with another New York team, Jeff.
That's why we're not
so
wearing it.
So that's perhaps the reason why you don't see
this
the Giants
a big blue
change things.
Show.
Yes, indeed. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to your tweets as well. But let's open up the phone lines. You want to delve into a variety of free agency topics, the upcoming draft. Everything is all up for discussion. Jerry is in Columbus. He gets us going on Friday's edition of BBKL. Jerry, what's happening?
Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I want to tell you, fellas, that I called a couple of days ago, and I was skeptical. What did I know? But John and Paul were wise and didn't give away anything. They're very good poker players. And, of course, Ian Rappaport reported on NFL.com that JPP has signed 4 years, about $17 million with $51 million guarantee. So I'm a very happy fella.
Good.
And I should have figured something was coming up because half an hour before, Hendrickson, the same agent, said that Josh Johnson was signed for a two-year basic veteran. So it looks like the Giants going to have three quarterbacks, because then I just heard a report a few seconds ago all at once that Geno Smith is going to be signing with the Giants.
Well, everything you threw out, just for clarification purposes, and we're not denying the reports, but nothing's official, at least from the Giants' standpoint. You know, all of those players are still on the market, but there is a possibility the Giants do add players into the mix. And remember, JPP had until July 15th to work out a long-term deal with the Giants. We knew he was going to be back under the franchise tag. Right now, based on the reports that you're hearing, which you just alluded to, nothing official, though, from the Giants. It was just a matter of whether or not they could hammer out a long-term contract.
But when it comes official, you know, that'll be pretty good.
You're right. You're right. And that's why I know John Jerry hasn't signed, because there's no money in the salary cap. But with a four-year deal, even if it's the same $17 million or close to it, it's going to free up maybe $6 or $8 million for Jerry Reese to sign more players. So,
well, you know what happens, and regardless of the players we're talking about, there is a caponomics. It's a game that is played, not so much a game, it's a matter of accounting. It has to be done. Everybody has to remember that you got to set aside $5 million to sign your rookie draft picks. So there's always going to be things happening. There's going to be guys that are going to be restructuring their contracts. There's going to be guys that are going to be released, because when there isn't a situation that we just talked about that comes about, you know, this can really help. And we all know that when we were talking about the JPP deal, and really the Giants were dedicated to paying him $17 million a year under the franchise tag. So we know that number's it was set aside for the cap. But now if he does sign, and when he does, it's been reported that he will, is that is going to create some cap space. And now the team can say, okay, we can go sign these other guys that maybe we've been waiting for this to happen. So that's a good sign, and we will certainly let you guys know when that comes official. And you know, obviously it's not official yet, but we can, you know, it's some good news.
And the one thing that I'll add to what Jeff just mentioned is the fact that whenever you work out a long-term deal, Jeff, regardless of the player, it's not just for 2017.
Oh,
it's
no.
Also so you can understand what you're working with for perhaps the length of the contract.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a four-year deal. And if I look back and I can see, I know that you look at Snacks and you look at OV, those guys are all signed for 4 years. So if this, in fact, becomes true, that this means that, you know, those three guys will be together for the next 4 years. And that's
continuity.
Now, the thing about it is that I'm looking at the contracts that those guys signed last year. I think those were maybe 3 or 4 year deals. That means that all of them may come up at the same time. 2021. So
in that
ballpark,
not
get ahead
yeah.
of ourselves. But.
No, but it's at least you know what you're operating under.
What's that?
We all ought to give three hip hip hoorays to Jerry Reese, because he's doing a great job. He's really, you know, extremely getting in as many good players as you can get within the cap numbers.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job.
Well, I mean, listen, it hasn't been like last year when there was money. You know, like we said, there was trucks backing up here at the Giants facility. they really only have a forklift this year. That's about it, and he's doing a heck of a job. And really, it comes down to Jerry Reese and guys like Kevin Abrams, who is the cap guy, and working these deals out. And it is a process, and every team goes through it. There are some teams that are better than others, but certainly, like you said, it is, Jerry. They're doing a good job.
It's always a fluid situation.
No
the
question.
Numbers are always fluctuating day to day.
Well,
changes.
Now they could go for dessert, and, you know, now they could pick out the best players, really, as Jerry Reese is fond of saying, in the draft, and they don't have to panic over, have to get this position. They need to just get who they think is going to be the best, you know, rookies. And so it's very encouraging, you know, for those who have tickets, you know.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Years worth of tickets. This is very encouraging, because they certainly have strengthened the quarterback position as well as JPP. And I wonder now, do you think, since John Hankins has not signed, the ex-Buckeye can end up back with a 4 or 5 year deal, you know, working it out with the numbers?
Well, I think it's tough to say whether or not he would get a long-term deal. I'm just looking at the market, Jerry, and Jeff and I were talking about this earlier. If you look at what defensive tackles have received thus far this offseason, a lot of them, with the exception of Brandon Williams, the nose tackle who returned to Baltimore,
he broke the bank.
And but then, everybody else, Jeff, since
Poe
got a one-year deal where he's going to the Atlanta Falcons for the Kansas City Chiefs. There has not been a lot of money and a long-term deal thrown around for defensive tackles. And, you know, it's like a domino effect. Once one guy gets one deal, you know, the agents and so forth look at that as an example. So, I mean, it's not impossible for Hankins to perhaps get whatever he's hoping for, but I think the way the market's played out, a lot of defensive tackles have had to settle for one-year deals.
And that could happen. Who knows? You know, because
obviously... Well, there is a very attractive defensive tackle from Michigan State who was very well coached by Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State, ex-Buckeye defensive coach when they won the championship. And he's supposed to be available right around 23-24. So he might be, you know, if Jerry Reese wants to strengthen defensive tackles, that could be a way to go because he's supposed to be good at rushing the passer, complementing Harrison. So, you know, that's a possibility.
Well, you're referring to Malik McDowell from Michigan State, yes. Jerry. And listen, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. And what I think what just Jerry alluded to, which is why we're seeing perhaps the market play out the way it is, Jeff, is, and you know this for being in the league, the money tends to go to players that get to the quarterback, even who play the defensive tackle spot. Mm-hmm. And the players that have been getting these one-year deals, it's not that they can't get to the quarterback, but I think they're known more to be run stoppers. And with this pass-happy league, there's a premium put on players who show more versatility and can obviously get to the quarterback.
And it all depends on, you know, your the year you just came off of. And so, you know, and you look at the case of Hankins or any of these other guys, you know, they didn't have the 7-8 sacks from the interior defensive lineman position. They had, you know, 3-4 sacks. So, but the other thing too is what we said earlier is that they're looking at the value that they could get out of a draft pick who's actually 22 years old. They're going to be able to sign them to a, depending on what round they're in, to a longer contract, a more cap-friendly contract, and being able to put a grade on those guys opposed to having to pay a veteran a lot of money if he's not worth it. The Giants are one team, in my opinion, that I've always seen, and I've been around the Giants a long time. They get good value for their free agents. They very rarely overpay for somebody. Now, a lot of times we were sitting here last year going, holy smokes, look at the money they just gave Olivia Vernon. Well, I think that it played out pretty good, that he's probably deserving of that contract the way he has played. And it's not a surefire every time, but for the most part, these teams are smart. They put a value on their players in free agency. They put a value on their own players going into free agency. A lot of times these teams will go to their own guys and say, listen, this is what we would give you. If you like it, take it. If not, go test the market.
To see and come back and bring us back an offer
now,
that
I'll give
we'll
you
think
a
about
prime
magic.
Example of how that can and can't work. It can work in the case of Justin Tuck. The Giants did offer him a contract, and then he left. And he went to the Raiders. They doubled it. So, you know, sometimes that works in favor of
get
the back player.
Fire. Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't. But you have to, from an organizational standpoint, you have to put a value on the player because you have to. When you're sitting down calculating all the money that's going to be spent, you got to put a value on something. And like I said, it's not 100% accurate, but they have to be as accurate as they can in their minds. If this is what we're going to pay for somebody, this will be it. And then the other parts of it is the guys, they say, no way, I'm going to go test the market. And then the market bears less than they could have signed with their original team. And then teams, you know, not saying that the Giants do this, but, teams sometimes will rely on the market to verify their number. Oh, guess what? We actually were right on.
Because is now what guys who are in your boat are getting.
Yeah, and we would love to have you back. Just come and sign it now, you know. So a lot of games to be played. Probably the word games isn't the right word.
It's strategy. I think that's what it really comes down to,
it's,
Jeff.
It's business strategy.
Correct.
It's business strategy.
And that's how it always has worked. I don't think anything has changed in terms of the business approach. I'm looking at the contracts that defensive tackles received and the last two deals that were handed out, which are connected to one another because one guy replaced.
You
have Don Terry Poe.
You and Schmelk are able to pull up stuff like it's no,
it's like that.
Nothing.
Blink of an eye. You got to love technology. Yes. So everything's in front. Terry Poe.
Well, look at Brandon Williams. I mean, he broke the bank.
Correct. He was the one that set the market at the beginning.
And Farley, okay. These
Fairly
guys,
re-signed with the Saints.
Fairly, yeah. Nick Farley. Yeah, and then all of a sudden,
Chris Farley reference.
Yeah,
is that what
exactly.
You're trying to get it. Terrell McClain, who left the Cowboys to go to the Redskins, he got a 4-year deal.
But
Earl
then look
Mitchell.
At the numbers. They just start dropping. Boom, boom, boom,
yep.
Boom.
Yeah. And then all of these 1- and 2-year deals, and there's at least just off count there. We're talking about 7 or 8 guys that receive 1- to 2-year deals. A bulk of the defensive tackle market did not receive long-term security.
And also, look at this total guaranteed money. I mean, Williams gets 33 guaranteed.
But then everything else, like you said, is also
drops to $14 million
tremendously
for,
yeah.
for Nick.
And then also a lot of these contracts have incentives.
Yeah.
Where if you reach certain bonuses
sure.
and so forth or certain numbers, then obviously you're going to get an increase in money, which a lot of teams do to work out deals.
And just so you know, the incentives are if you do reach that incentive in a certain year, then if say let's just say the guy made a $2 million incentive, he had 5 sacks, that was one of the incentives, and he made $2 million for that. By the way, the next year, the Giants – the teams have to account for that money likely to be earned because he already achieved it once. So even though that he may not achieve it the next year, they have to keep that $2 million on his
They have to have
number.
Space for it.
They got to have space for
within
it.
Within the breakdown. Yeah. Similar to the franchise tag.
Right.
You have to have the tag there because even if you work out a long-term deal, you have to calculate that because if you then wind up eating into all of that space, you're not going to have time or space to work in that long-term deal.
And I guess, too, a lot of people are probably asking the question is, if in fact that, if JPP does sign back with the Giants now, does that removes the tag? Can they use the tag on somebody else now? And I don't know the answer to that question.
I believe that once you hand out the tag, even if you work out
a
long-term deal,
date,
correct.
You had to do it by, right?
Yes, you had the deadline was the beginning of March. So that has passed. You can't then, even if you work out a long-term deal, you can't then hand it over to another. You use it once and that's it. It's over for the Giants for this season, of course. They can obviously utilize the franchise tag.
Yeah,
every offseason, but they have their one shot, and that was to lock up JPP.
And, you think about it, in this situation, for any team, if they're franchising a quarterback and it's 20, well, let's just go, let's go with the Redskins. I don't know what the Redskins were. It's $24 million, I think.
It's in that ballpark, correct. I think it's just under 24 in terms
of
the franchise tag.
And let's just hypothetically say that if the Redskins had signed Kirk Cousins to a long-term deal and his cap number for that first year was only $18 million, that'll free up $6 million of them to be able to immediately – put it towards another player.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
That's how it could work.
And that's why you hear from all the fans to want to work out a long-term deal because they figure while the free agency period is still alive and there's players out there, gain some more flexibility so that maybe you can get another complimentary piece
and now
and
you
so
kind of know why, obviously for many reasons why the Giants franchised JPP. One, they wanted him back. And two, they felt that $17 million was a number they could afford in their cap number. But they also said to themselves, listen, this will give us a little bit more time rather than him hit free agency and to try to get him to sign a deal. And this is certainly, if the rumors are true, that worked out for them. And now that they're going to be able to save some money on the cap, they're going to need it. I think I read these unofficial numbers every single day, how much cap space the Giants have. But, it's not a lot. But certainly if it's true, then this will free up some money.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Lance Meadow, Jeff Fiegel's with you here. Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We've got Andrew in Stanhope. Andrew, what's happening?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Andrew.
And Jerry re-signed the running back, Adrian Peterson. Charlie Fermain, even he has to be happy with Jerry Reese. And I'm very happy about the JPP long-term signing. I just heard about it now when I clicked on the show. And I know last year was the anomaly where they spent a lot, but you're right. They usually make smart picks in free agency. They don't go for the big ticket guy and spend all the money on one guy. So couldn't be happier. Fluker, I wanted them to draft Fluker to move up. So now he's back, or he's here now. So that's great. And if Fluker and Flowers has a big year, the offensive line will be greatly improved, and JPP and Vernon, those four players, I think, are real cornerstones to how the season's going to go. So that's all I want to say. I'm extremely happy. I think they definitely took a big step up, and hopefully those four players will, step up this year and have big years.
Well, I think that, you mentioned it, Lance. just the keeping this defense together was number one priority. I mean, you're talking about a defense that was amazing last year. And if you could keep this defense 95% together, which is certainly what they're doing. I mean, you got Snacks, and you got OV, and if they sign JPP, there's three guys in the front four.
Three quarters of the front four.
I mean, that's pretty darn good. And now you got to, you know, you're trying to go back to the linebackers. You know, Robinson.
Adrian Peterson on the mind, yeah. Well,
yeah, I don't know about Keenan Adrian Robinson. Peterson, but, you know, Keenan Robinson would be another guy that the Giants could certainly
Who's still out there? Kelvin Shepherd is another one. And, Andrew, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. Linebacker position, there are still a few free agents that the Giants had on the team last year that have yet to sign anywhere else, so it's still very possible that they can bring them back in the mix. And then even taking it a step further, Jeff, when you look at the secondary, you're bringing back Jack Rabbit, DRC and Eli Apple, so your top three corners. How the back end of the depth chart works out is still, you know, to be determined. But for the most part, at every level of the defense, as you touched on, you're bringing back what you were working with in 2016.
Sure. And you've also got younger players that are now a year older. You know, B.J. Goodson, and linebacker, who's probably going to get some playing time this year. And then you look at that safety position. Aside from Collins, you got a lot of depth there, a lot of guys that are going to be coming back from injury, the guys that were supposed to be starters that went out early in the season. So, yeah, now you kind of move to the offensive side and say, okay, where are we at now? Well, guess. We lost Cruz, but we signed Brandon Marshall. We got a blocking tight end to help us with some of the problems that we've had from that position. And so that's kind of upgraded. And now we're just sitting there. You're probably, a lot of people are thinking, okay, is Paul Perkins going to be the guy? Well, yes, he is. And that's kind of clear. And then you got Shane Vereen, who they exercised an option with him or had a bonus. Now he's coming back. And then you've got Orleans Darkwa, who signed a few weeks ago too. Or has he signed yet? Or I think
Darkwa has signed.
Yeah. So
correct.
And again, guys, a lot of this stuff is official, unofficial. We kind of get lost in it. So a lot of times we don't like to talk if it's not official. But I think the Darkwa was. So I mean,
yeah, Darkwa is official. It's just some of the reports that the callers have alluded to today. Nothing is official. It's based on all the reports. And Jeff and I are seeing the reports as well. We're not denying that the reports aren't out there, but the Giants have yet to confirm any of the reports that are dangling out there with respect to JPP and so forth.
And really, when you talk about Fluker and John Jerry and, that right guard position and Bobby Hart. So, you know, right now you've got a nice collective group of competition that's going to go to that right side of the offensive line. And everybody's always hoping that Eric Flowers is going to come around and doing some off-season workouts and improving his skill. But, you know, really when you see the Giants and how they're shaping up in free agency and getting ready for the season, the off-season workouts are starting soon, April 17th, I think it is. Before you know it, guys, those people will be in the building and we're going to be getting close again.
Absolutely. Inching closer to football, which is never a bad thing. Let's inch closer to another phone call. Here we got Jersey Chris on the line. Jersey Chris, what's happening?
Hi, Jersey. Hey, how you guys doing today? Happy St. Patty's Day, you lads and lassies.
Same to you. So what do you got for us, Chris?
I got three hats on today, the Atlantis. I got my fan hat, I got my GM hat, and I got my rumor hat.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, we got a lot to cover then.
JPP, I don't want to step on anyone's toes over here. You know, I know, Lance, you're laughing. I know. JPP, you know, the rumor is $54 million guaranteed, $68 million for 4 years, $17 million. I really hope that we can really save some money here like you guys have alluded to. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can go into that second tier that Jeff and you guys are talking about to get some more free agencies and maybe sign our deal. I was wishing for this, that we would do it early rather than later. That's my only point, okay?
Well, I think they tried. Obviously, they're trying. I mean, the whole intent of franchising JPP was to try to get a long-term deal. It just took longer, you know, than expected. But there will be some – if this happens, there will be some money there. There will definitely be some money for the second round and value. You know, some of these guys are good players that you're going to be able to pick up still and not have to pay a lot of money for them.
And remember, keep in mind, Chris, they may be targeting certain players in the draft
of course
who they feel can fill some voids.
My next point.
Yeah, I mean, even if there was an urgency to gain some financial flexibility, which I'm not denying, you still don't necessarily take that money and automatically go on a spending spree because, number one, you could take that flexibility and carry it over to 2018, which they did some money from this past year.
Mr. Abrams, hello?
Yeah, we're listening. We're here, Chris.
Yeah, Mr. Abrams, I think, is doing the you just stole my thunder, Jeff. He's doing a heck of a job. In the cap room, Mr. Reese has, and I've been a critic of Reese since 2012 to 2015. All right, the last couple of years he's done a wonderful job. Mr. Ross is doing a wonderful job. I'll give kudos when there's kudos. But again, we're Giants fans, and when things aren't going too good, we can only criticize our own guys. You know, we don't allow anyone else to criticize our guys except for us guys. Now, let me move on real quick. I know you have other phone calls. I think the signings of Ellison, Fluker, and Marshall is going to pick up our play action again, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I think it's with a running back who can block. I think it's going to pick up Eli's play action game again. We all know how great he was there. I think Fluker is going to be a right tackle or a tackle. I don't think he's going to be a guard. I think and the tackles in the draft, guys, my opinion, they need a lot of work. I said it 6-7 weeks ago that they need a lot of work. Everyone seems to be agreeing with me on this, or I'm agreeing with you guys. But I think a defensive tackle, like was stated in the early caller, I think that's a key now that Hankins may or may not be with us. I'm a technique three kind of guy in that position. I think that's the right place to go. If a tight end Howard is there, I don't have a problem with that either. But my needs are best available player, nose tackle, an edge rusher. That's my key interest. I have plan B's and plan C's, but I think, let me ask your opinion, I'm going to go. I think a lineman or defensive player, I think in the second round, tight end, third round, maybe a running back, and the fourth round, maybe a cornerback, or maybe a third or fourth round offensive lineman, maybe a fifth round cornerback. What's your feelings on those areas of need, guys, and I have a few more things, but next time. Thank you, guys.
All right, Chris. Appreciate the call.
I'm not too sure about – I think I'll agree with O-line and D-line in the first round. Maybe D-line because it's so deep. And at 23, you might be able to get a good player at 23 that you normally wouldn't have gotten in a draft that was not as thick in defensive linemen. Second round, I still think the Giants need a fourth cornerback. I think I would like to see a cornerback here that somebody could, you know, this guy can step in at, because you never can have enough. And DRC and these guys in Apple, cornerbacks, you know, very rarely play 16 games. So you need to have some depth there. The tight end position, listen, I think that there are some good ones in this draft, three in particular. So, you know, a tight end could be a second rounder also, but I would say, you know, in that order, I if it was me, it would be offensive lineman, defensive lineman, cornerback, catching tight end, and then maybe at the back end of it, if there is a running back. It's intriguing to see that, you know, I like this McCaffrey guy, and I'm just kind of curious about where he's going to kind of fit into this draft. Is he going to be a guy that kind of gets down to the bottom and, you know, a team like the Patriots end up getting him, but he's like perfectly in that system?
In terms of his versatility.
Yeah. So what about you?
Though, you know what, they take so many chances on these unknown running backs that I just don't know if Bill Belichick and company would want to. Yeah, I mean, I get where you're going with that, Jeff, and I think his style of play, they would get the most out of it. But you look at New England, I mean, they take some of these late rounders and they just make something happen out of them. So I don't know if they want to use their resources that high on Christian McCaffrey.
What do you like the first three rounds?
Offensive linemen, there is, based on from what we're hearing from the experts and what I've been reading and seeing, is I think that there's a drop-off after maybe the first two offensive linemen. So I don't know if that's a position where you could be maximizing the value of that 23rd pick by taking an offensive lineman, especially if maybe the first two are gone at that point. And even though there is depth at the defensive line, from what I was told, and actually I was on with Phil Savage, the former Browns executive, last night on Sirius XM NFL Radio, and he told me, though, even though there's depth on the defensive line, there still is a drop-off. Whereas if in the late first round, if there is one of the top five defensive linemen, you should take one of those guys.
Right.
Because
that's
even though
point.
You can get a quality guy, you still have to understand that there is going to be somewhat of a drop-off.
Sure.
And look at the Giants and how much they put into pass rushers.
They love them.
And even if people look at it on paper and they're like, well, there's so much money invested in JPP and Vernon, and you have some of the young guys like Double O and Kerry Wynn, what do they need to the pass rusher? I mean, think about in years past, Jeff. The year they drafted JPP, you had OC, you had Kiwanuka, you had plenty of playmakers, and Kiwanuka gets hurt, and then it turned out you needed JPP. Last year, they had signed Jack Rabbit, they had DRC, Eli Apple was there. So I would not be surprised if they go after a position on paper where it seems to be a strength. And they figure, you know what, let's continue to stockpile good talent because we never know when somebody's going to get hurt and so forth. But I like your idea of maybe going after that fourth corner.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there's a specific round that they need to target, but I think there's certainly room to bring in a young corner to develop with Eli Apple so that in conjunction, you have two young guys that you could build
bring
around.
Bring it up,
yeah.
Because eventually, you know, DRC and Jack Rabbit, okay, are you know they're not spring chickens. They're you know,
and I you mean, have to Jack, prepare for down the
yeah,
road.
So you never
yeah.
know, and that's kind of a good point. And I think that you know a lot of times these teams, the philosophy from year to year is pretty consistent, and sometimes it does change. I mean, the Giants have always been a team that has said, you know what, these are our ranked players. We check them off as they get going, and if that guy is there and he's our highest rank, we're taking him. You know, sometimes it's teams that need. Well, who's the need? They need a defensive back. They need a cornerback. They need a running back. Then they're going to go get that guy, even though that may not be their highest rated guy. They're going to draft for need. So I'm curious at what that philosophy is come draft day in the Giants room, but I think with some of the signings that they have done this year, they've attacked some of the needs that they need. They went after a tight end, you know, another receiver,
depth on the O-line.
I mean, when you look at Fluker, you get a guy that you got a good deal for him. He's experienced. He can play both guard and tackle. And you know, if you had to go in the draft and not draft an offensive lineman, you're probably sitting there feeling pretty confident that you got your guys that you want to go compete with. It's just a matter of it. The Giants, really, we talked about it, I think, last week, is that the Giants just didn't have enough money to get into that offensive line market early on this year. They just couldn't do it.
Well, but you know what? You have to look at it also and wonder, Jeff, whether that's a good or a bad thing. Because with so much money being thrown at these offensive linemen,
absolutely.
Whether or not you're going to get return is my point.
And I know what? I'm totally with you there. I don't think that the guys that got their money in free agency, I think every single one of them was overpaid.
And I think there's – well, and there's at least question marks connected to them.
Exactly.
That may be – I mean, listen, the players – the market is dictated based on how the cap goes up and so forth. So no player, no agent is going to say that their client was overpaid.
No.
But I think that you look at it and you say to yourself, well, there were some question marks, Jeff, connected to a lot of these notable star offensive linemen. For example, Matt Khalil left the Vikings. He joins his brother Ryan in Carolina. Khalil missed the majority of this past season, and he's getting up there in age. So that's one concern. Russell Okung, also injury-plagued player. He got a lot of money to go to the Chargers. So, you know, a number of these offensive linemen, they're established. And, listen, it's great to have a veteran presence there, but I think you also have to wonder how much money you're putting in a player, and there's no guarantee that they're going to be out there for X amount of games.
Yeah, and how much money you're putting into that
player. Of course, that's another obviously key part.
Absolutely.
So that you have to look at and you have to wonder and so forth. You brought up Fluker. I think it's going to be interesting to see where the Giants line him up during OTAs and training camp. He's probably the guy that I'm most anxious to see during the course of practices, given the fact that John Jerry can play right guard, and then Bobby Hart can play guard and tackle just like Fluker can. So you sort of have some interchangeable parts where you can line them up in various spots to determine, okay, who's the ideal fit where, and if there's any time to experiment, Jeff, it's certainly during the OTA period.
Yeah, absolutely, but you also understand that Bobby Hart has played both positions, which gives him some versatility. John Jerry, we know, is a guard. And Fluker has played both positions.
Yeah.
So that right there tells me that there's going to be a competition for that right tackle spot. It's either going to be Fluker or it's going to be Bobby Hart. So one of those – and really when you think about it, who the veteran that's coming over here is obviously more established. But Bobby Hart being the young guy and they have a lot of belief in him, they played him a lot last year, that's going to be interesting to watch. And in my opinion, opening day, and I won't put it on the board, but my guess is that Fluker will be your right tackle, John Jerry will be your right guard, and Bobby Hart will be your swing guy that, that can play both positions if needed.
That's and if that's how it plays out, Jeff, then I would say that there's probably value in if the Giants do go after an offensive lineman in the draft to not necessarily have to go after a guy in the first or the second round, but if you could get a quality player in the fourth or the fifth round, such as like a Bobby Hart,
sure,
then you can develop that player to now add to your depth chart. Because then, under your hypothetical, Jeff, you have Bobby Hart, you have Brett Jones, who's versatile, center and guard, and then perhaps another young offensive lineman. So now you're starting to see, okay, everybody talks about the starters, but it's just as important to say, hey, we got about two or three guys on the back end that we can fill in and they at least have some experience under their belts.
You'd like to have the versatility as a reserve offensive lineman because really when you have a guy that can only play one position, then it really doesn't do you much good if you can't if there's an injury somewhere and you got to move. And it's not a matter of sometimes just moving that guy. What happens if this guy comes over here?
You have to move
multiple
guys.
The other
yeah.
one. And it happens every year, with the exception to one team with the Atlanta Falcons, who played their linemen played together the whole season. There's going to be interchangeable parts. And when you look at Jones and you look at Bobby Hart, who can play both, it just gives you more credence to your opinion on what you just said as far as getting an alignment that maybe be a little more versatile, has played guard and tackle or even center in college and maybe doesn't have to be in the first two rounds. You get him in a later round. Bobby Hart was a late round pick.
It was a seventh round pick? Yeah.
Yeah. So well, they're hoping to get some, you know, still cash in on that seventh round pick being some more value than what they thought he would be. At seventh round, listen, seventh round is basically a street free agent. It really is. But he has played a lot of games in the last year or two.
Well, to me, you know who was one of the most underrated Giants in recent history? Sean Locklear. Because when Locklear was on the team, and he's not a name that gets brought up.
It was a shame, too, because he was a good player.
Yeah.
And that injury just, you know, took him out of the league.
But Locklear was that jack-of-all-trades offensive lineman, Jeff, where, all right, they need a spot as a guard, they need a spot as a tackle, they need the sixth offensive lineman, you put in Sean Locklear. And nobody talks about him. I mean, Giants fans know him, but if you had a conversation across the NFL landscape,
they wouldn't even know he played for
the Giants. Yeah, I mean, an unknown commodity. He's not the first guy that comes to mind, but I always bring him up in conversation because that's the prototypical offensive lineman that defined what the Giants were all about.
Yep, and then you got to, you know, listen, we've talked a lot about that right side. You still got to talk a little bit about the left side when
Certainly.
It comes to depth. Okay, we know who the starters are going to be on the left side. And so when you look at who's behind them, you now have to start talking about depth again. And so you got to get a guy that maybe can play right and left guard or tackle. So, you know what I'm saying?
Correct.
You can't have 12 offensive linemen.
No, that's why you have to maximize the seven guys that you have on the roster.
Yeah, and that was my point. You don't like to have a guy that just plays one position. Because he's kind of, you know, he's nailed into that, and that's – I can't use him. They're going to – okay, I got to inactivate him.
Yep.
And bring another guy that can play this position.
Well, I mean, think about it. Just based on the mathematics, if you have two main backups, Jeff, one player
four
has
positions.
To be a backup to at least two spots,
right.
And then the other guy's got to be the other backup to another two spots.
So two players, you're basically taking up almost like having four different offensive linemen because they could play center, guard, tackle, whatever
yep.
it is. Now, I'm not telling you that they're probably really, really good at each one of those, but they probably can do it if you had to and develop them a little bit. But they all of them have they're all of them are most likely their one position that they're a guard and they can play tackle. They're really good at a guard, but they can play some tackle.
And you know what? If they're great at one position and they're a complementary piece in another, you'll at least take that, because how many teams in the NFL have seven or eight offensive linemen where everything's 100% at all spots? I mean, I remember the Atlanta Falcons, I think it was 2 years ago, Jeff, they got so banged up in one game, Levine Toilolo, their tight end, had to start at right tackle at one point.
Yep,
I mean, you don't want to be in that position. Now, he's a big guy. I mean, he's a big tight end,
but yeah, he's not an offensive lineman.
Yeah, you do not want to be put in that spot.
So Atlanta goes from that situation to an offensive line that played every single game together last
year.
There
you go.
That's pretty incredible.
Is it any coincidence that that's a reason why they went to the Super Bowl?
And Matt Ryan had the year that he did. So very important stuff, and really I think that coming into free agency and at the beginning of all this, we were all talking about the offensive line, and we should, but I think it's starting to shape up a little bit, so you kind of understand where the competition is going to be and who the players are going to be.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We got Brandon in New Jersey. Brandon, what's happening?
Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Hey, what's going on, man?
Doing well, Brent.
How are you?
All right, this is what I think. I think Jerry Reed's doing a great job. I heard that we signed Jason Pierre-Paul. Well, he didn't sign yet, but they agreed to terms, and that's good. But I want to talk about this offensive line.
Okay.
I don't believe that this is done. I don't believe the offensive line is done yet. Yes, John Jerry, he played well last season, but I still believe we need a role grader as a right guard. If we're going to play Fluke at right tackle, let's get a role grader at right guard that can maul people in the draft. And I could believe we could get that like in the first or second round.
Yep, you can. They talk about the guy Lamp or whatever.
Forrest Lamp out of Western Kentucky, who's a tackle in college. They think he's going to transition to guard in the NFL. And I think there's a good chance from what I heard that, I mean, he could be a late first-round pick. And I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, you don't usually take a guard in the first round. But Zach Martin went to the Cowboys and Brandon Scherff went to the Redskins.
Exactly.
And they're all Pro Bowl-esque guards.
Scherff was attacked and moved to the guard.
Nothing against John Jerry, but I just believe it would be well for him to play as a backup, not a starter.
Well, we'll see. Time will tell there.
And then another thing I wanted to say is, this is what I would do. In the first round, I'd take Lamp. In the second round, I'll go pass rusher again. We need a third pass rusher. Yeah, we got Zigger and the other guy that came along, of course. But let's get another guy. Let's stack defensive line up. Now we freed up some money trying to JPP back. We could re-sign Hank. Get Hank back. Hank's still out there. That's saying something. He obviously want to come back. He ain't jumped to no deal or nothing like that. Let's keep that defensive line together and get that depth. It's going to be all about depth with this draft with us. Let's get a fourth corner. We need a fourth corner. And the cornerbacks is deep in this draft. We could get a fourth corner in the third, maybe the fourth round, and get another power running back and build in the back of the draft with that, with another linebacker or something like that, a debt with another safety.
Yep. And you know what's going to happen? It always does. Every single year there's a street free agent that makes this team nobody knows about.
Yep, undrafted.
And that could be a corner. It could be a D lineman. You know, look at Okwara.
Okay, Andrew Adams is another one.
And we haven't talked about Okwara that much.
The key thing with this draft, what Jerry Reese needs to do, I hope you listen to me, get another guard. Get the guard in the first round. Put Fluke at the right tackle position and get another pass rusher in the fourth corner. Trust me. And we could get all of that in this draft.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. Listen, they signed John Jerry on a one-year deal. Right? Is it 1 year or 2? Yeah, 1 year.
Well, they haven't officially announced anything,
okay, so
but that was the report.
Okay, so whatever it is. All right, so if he's coming back, okay, you sign a young offensive lineman, okay, at a guard position, because all these guys we mentioned can play guard. Okay, there isn't too many tackles out there in the draft that you're going to take a hit on. So I think that you draft a guard, you bring him in, there's competition there, you got veteran guys like John Jerry and Fluker and Bobby Hart, and you got a young guy that you're going to develop, because Fluker and John Jerry, they're older guys. They signed whatever they're going to sign. Fluker's already signed, right? So
Fluker's
signed. Fluker and Hart need to battle it out for the right tackle position.
There you go.
And the young guy that we draft need to battle it out with John Jerry.
There you go. Now we're talking. Yep.
But I also think that there's nothing wrong with, given the fact that Hart and Fluker have experience at right guard, also bringing competition to the right guard spot, too.
Trust me. Leave Fluke at the right tackle or Hart at the right tackle.
Well, but here's
bring
the one thing, Brandon.
Another right guard.
Here's the one thing, though, that you can't overlook, and I didn't mean to cut you off. The Chargers had Fluker at right tackle in his first 2 years in the NFL. They then moved him to right guard based on some of their other personnel. But the last two seasons, Fluker has solely been at right guard. You can't overlook that. That doesn't mean that the Giants don't envision him at right tackle. And I think what Jeff said has a lot of substance. But the fact that the last two seasons he's been solely at right guard.
Well, this is what we do.
That's something you have to keep in mind.
We have to decide. This is what we do. We decide what we want to play Fluker, either at right guard or right tackle, right? And if we decide we want to play Fluker at the right guard position, then you draft a right tackle, a strictly right tackle that could battle it out with Bobby Hart. And you could get one in here, because I've heard that in this draft, there's nothing but strictly right tackles in it anyway.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with also going after a player that, and we see this a lot, Jeff, played left tackle in the college level and then could transition to a right tackle. Because I think the Giants could use on the back end of the depth chart sort of a swing tackle, somebody that could do left and right. There's nothing wrong with targeting that. I mean, once again, versatility, I think, should be the big theme entering the draft.
I believe Eric is going to really bounce back this year. I think he's going to be really motivated to bounce back this year at that left tackle position. This is going to be his third season. Let's give him some time and see what he's going to do.
Well, I think this is the year.
Don't give up on him just yet.
I think this is the year. It's up to him to kind of prove everybody that he's a first round draft pick. I mean, the first year.
And I think he is.
Yeah. Yep. We hope so. Well, we know he's a first rounder.
That's the formula.
Yes, that can't be debated.
Don't forget, the pass rusher, the fourth corner, and decide if you're going to play Fluka either at the right guard or at the right tackle position. Once you decide that, draft you a strictly right tackle or play both sides and get a fourth corner.
All right, Brandon.
And build the depth up through the draft.
Thank you, Brandon.
And that's the way that most teams go about their business and appreciate the phone call. I mean, the draft is so important. Everybody talks about starters, but the draft is a way to build up your depth chart.
Yeah,
that's the key here.
There's no question. And listen, unless you're a first-round draft pick and you're a guy like Landon Collins, who was a borderline first-round draft pick, those are the guys that are going to play. You know, you're not drafting first-round draft picks to sit on the bench. I mean, you really want them to start for you. Eli Apple, okay. I mean,
he became a starter. Listen, you need three corners.
There's no question. When it starts, now we start going to the 23rd pick in the second round, and the 23rd pick in the third round. These are going to be backup guys. They're going to be high draft picks. They're going to accelerate a little quicker than normal, but they're not going to be starters. They're depth. It's all about depth. And when I look at that offensive line, you know, what's behind the five starters, it's a depth problem. And then the second thing is that when you talk about defense in that secondary, you can't have enough good cornerbacks. I'm just telling you right now, we know it. The Giants are one team that lines up three receivers every single play. And the other people in the division have to understand that. So they got to have at least three good corners to cover those guys twice a year. And I just think that having that fourth cornerback is very, very important. And the cornerback is a guy that can really get you. He's not a starter, but he's going to play a lot. He's going to play a nickel and dime. He's going to get experience quickly. You've got guys on the roster now that have experience, but these guys get hurt. They run and they're in game so much. I mean, it's just you got to have a lot of depth there. So free agency is about going after a need to fill a position that the guy's going to play because you're going to give him a lot of money. The draft is about depth, unless it's the first round.
And keep close tabs on the division, because I always say, listen, teams, they're going to look at the teams that they play twice a year. One of the biggest themes that I've taken away so far, Jeff, from the NFC East is the other teams look to improve at the receiving position. Mm-hmm. So all four
Eagles,
teams
yeah.
in the division yeah. are saying to themselves, you know, we have to make sure that our secondaries are intact, where we can contain or at least run with these guys, because the Eagles brought in Alshon Jeffrey from the Bears. They brought in Torrey Smith from the Niners, and they still have Jordan Matthews, and they still have Zach Ertz at tight end. Okay, so Philadelphia now on paper has Carson Wentz some veterans, guys that have experience. The Redskins, they lost DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, but they brought in Terrell Pryor from the Cleveland Browns, Josh Doctson. Their early pick from this past year is going to return. Jamison Crowder has come along, and you have Jordan Reed and you have Vernon Davis. So they have their foursome.
And Jordan Reed is pretty much almost your number one receiver anyways.
Because he is a tight end, but you're right. I mean, he runs routes.
The guy catches everything.
He's a receiver. And then you go to Dallas. Dallas didn't make many changes, but the nucleus is still together. Dez, Beasley. Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams, and Jason Witten is still hanging around as he continues to get up there in age. And then the Giants bringing in Brandon Marshall. So all four teams, there's threats
equipped.
There.
They're equipped.
So you better have a secondary.
Yeah.
And on paper, I think most people would agree, the Giants are by far in the best shape right now.
Sure.
Now, we don't know what's going to happen. Free agency still is going to play out. The draft is going to play out. But the Giants, the reason why we keep emphasizing the importance of having three corners is because of how the NFC East looks.
And when you look at the Cowboys, they just lost two of their guys. So they essentially lost four. Four.
Because the safeties left too.
Yeah.
Now they have some depth. You know, Orlando Scandrick is still around. They'll probably move Byron Jones around, their young safety, Jeff Heath. I mean, they have options, but you're talking about now guys need to adapt to new roles, and that sometimes changes the dynamics of a defense.
Yeah, and we keep saying it, that when you look at the Giants and their defense coming back from this last season, they're in a very good position, and if they just try to upgrade a couple of things here and there, but, you know, if in fact the JPP is coming back, you got Hankins, you got OV, you know, and you got some young talent there that played well last year, that defense is going to be something to reckon with again this year coming up.
Let's check out some tweets before we wrap up the program.
Sure.
At Gruen Ben, it would honestly not surprise me if the Giants don't draft a single tight end, he says. I think they have four they are high on the team. And I would agree with Ben there. I would not be surprised either. I know this is a deep draft, Jeff, but Ellison, Red Ellison, who they brought in, is considered that blocking tight end. And I think that with Jarrell Adams and Will Tye still very much in the mix, you know, they may look at the fact that the combination of Ellison doing much of the heavy lifting as blocker and then trying to continue to develop Jarrell Adams, they may feel that a combination of any of those three on the field at the same time could allow them to try to maximize the use of the tight end slash fullback.
It all depends on how good of a grade that the team has on these tight ends.
Yeah.
And if they feel that it's worthy of the pick. And I agree with you there. And I think I wouldn't surprise me if they did go away with it, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did pick one, because when you think about Ellison, he's kind of a hybrid. He kind of falls into that running back tight end position.
H-back, yeah.
You know, so, and then you got leaves you with Adams and Ty. You kind of need another third tight end in there.
And I don't disagree with you there.
So,
yeah.
And it could be Lacoste. They like
he's another one. Forget. We should mention he's still in the mix. Yeah.
That's a good kind of a good scenario there. And really, it just depends on how they're going to grade out those tight ends.
And also, they may have that philosophy, what we just talked about, Jeff, and then all of a sudden the draft is coming about, and they get to the third round, and somebody high on the sheet is there, and they're like, this is too good, we can't pass up on him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, things change.
Sure, sure. And you have the affordability because of Ellison being a halfback, tight end slash, you can probably carry one extra guy. You're just going to deactivate him every week. You know what I'm saying? So the value may be there in the pick, but again, it's all about how they grade out as far as the Giants pecking order and where they're going to pick them.
That's obviously something to keep in mind as well. So many different strategies that play out as the draft goes.
Well, I tell you, you look at those two guys, you know, Howard and Njoku from Miami, of course.
The two top-tier tight ends,
yeah,
considered,
I mean,
by many.
They're very, very good pass-catching tight ends, very athletic. One is a little better the blocker than the other. I think Howard's a better blocker than Njoku, but you know, those guys are not going to last into the second round. Those guys will both be gone or past the second round, I would imagine. So it's interesting and a lot to talk about, but I think that the Giants overall, collectively as we speak today, I think have done a great job in free agency to kind of summarize what the show's been about a little bit, and really dealing with the money that they had in free agency and the players that they've got and addressing the needs. I think overall they have done an outstanding job.
Absolutely. With that being said, that's going to wrap up Friday's edition
Already?
Of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. We will be back up and running next week with the latest free agency news. We'll continue to start to look ahead to the draft, as we'll have some special guests on to preview all of these draft classes from various schools so you get a better idea of what these prospects have to offer. But for all the latest with respect to the Giants, stay locked to Giants.com in terms of the latest video features as well as articles and commentary. For Jeff Feagles, I'm Lance Meadow, wishing you a good Friday as we move along here on Giants.com. We'll speak to you next week. Have a good one.